This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده تعالى ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليمًا مزيدًا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولًا سديدًا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطيع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزًا عظيمًا يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أيها المسلمون عباد الله أوصيكم ونفسي بالتقوى الله فإن خير الزاد التقوى My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, after the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم strove for more than 10 years, into the 13th year of his time of prophethood in Mecca, spreading the message of Tawheed, the message of the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to his people in Mecca, when he realized that they were not going to answer his da'wah, he began alayhi salatu wasalam to look for alternatives. He went to the neighboring Ta'if to talk to them, and they rejected his da'wah alayhi salatu wasalam. He focused on the people coming to Mecca during the Hajj season and during other times to spread the message of Islam, to see who would stand behind him to spread this da'wah. He knew that he needed a place, a markaz, a center for the da'wah to spread. So when the different tribes and people would come to Mecca, he would share with them the message of Islam. Until some of the people of Medina came to Mecca, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he told them about Islam, one of them said, because they were living with the Jews, the Yahud in Medina, they had knowledge that the other Arab tribes didn't have. And that is that they knew that the Jews used to say to them when they would be in a difference, they would argue with one another. They would say that the Prophet of the last time, the last Prophet since all mankind, he will come to us and then we will be victorious upon you. So when they heard about this Prophet and they heard about the message of Islam, they said to one another, perhaps this is the guy that the Jews were talking about. So let's take advantage. If he is, we'll accept his message. And he'll be with us instead of with them. And we'll be the ones who will be victorious. So when they sat with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they heard the truthfulness and the beauty of Islam, they accepted Islam. They came back the next year with more of their followers from their tribe. And they too accepted Islam. Later the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was given permission for all of the Muslims to migrate from Mecca to Medina, except for him, alayhi salatu wasalam. In general, all of the Muslims were given permission. He started off with a strategical plan. Not like a lot of Muslims do today, when they do anything for Islam, just on barakah. Successful, not successful, no planning, just do it. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the first thing he did was send Mus'ab ibn Umair radiyallahu anhu to Medina. The first ambassador of Islam to spread the message of Islam, to spread the message of Tawheed to the people of Medina, to teach them the Quran, to teach them the basics of Islam. And through the da'wah of this man, through the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through his da'wah, through Mus'ab radiyallahu anhu, they said there wasn't a house in Medina except for Islam entered into it. Later, as the Kufar of Quraysh realized when the Muslims migrated to Medina, and now they have a country, they have a backing, they realized that their status throughout the Arabian Peninsula as the leading Arab tribe was in danger. They realized that the message of Islam was going to spread more and more. It was then that they decided there was no other alternative except for to kill the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. To get rid of him, get rid of the leader of the da'wah, for the da'wah to stop. It was then that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was given permission from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to migrate himself from Mecca to Medina. And that is when the glorious story, one of the most beautiful stories in the history of mankind, not just in the history of Islam, the story of the Hijrah. And in today's khutbah, I'm not going to talk about the story itself, because most of us know it and we've heard it time and time again. But I want to talk about some of the lessons, some of the benefits that we gain from this story. And perhaps one of the greatest benefits that we gain is the importance of relying upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and doing the means that will make us be successful, and the asbab and the tawakkul together. And we take this from the story of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that he planned in depth a strategical plan on how to get to Medina. From that, he had two of the greatest sahaba wait for him in Medina, wait for him in Mecca before he left, to be part of this plan. Abu Bakr and Ali radiallahu anhuma. Abu Bakr was the one who was going to be with him on the path to Medina, the path of the Hijrah. And Ali radiallahu anhu, he will play a very important role as it will come soon. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam had Abu Bakr and his family help him prepare for the Hijrah. They had a tracker who was a non-Muslim, but a famous and trustworthy tracker who knew the area perfectly. They backtracked. Instead of going the regular track to Medina, they went back to the south. And they stayed in the cave for 3 days until the pursuit, which was 100 camels for each one of them. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his companion Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. 100 camels for each of them, dead or alive. The pursuit, when it dropped down, the Prophet ﷺ then took the seashore way, also not the famous route, until he later reached Medina alayhi salatu wasalam. He was well prepared, had people bring him news about what was going on in Mecca, about the plans and what people were saying in Mecca, and then they would wipe out their tracks. All of this, even though he knew Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would make him victorious, but he wanted to show a lesson to his ummah as well, is that relying on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it comes with the means as well. You need to focus on the asbab. And you want to be successful in anything in your life as a Muslim, there has to be actions in it as well. Not just say, I rely on Allah without acting. We also gain from this beautiful story the importance of being mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that the one who is mindful of Allah, Allah will protect him and protect his family. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, they left on this trip. They left their families behind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected them and protected their families until they all made it to Medina. Also, we gain from this story for the person who works in the field of da'wah, and this is very, very important, is that he doesn't take advantage of himself being a da'i. Doesn't take advantage of the money of the people. He doesn't make his da'wah into a business. And we gain this from two things in the story of the hijrah. The first is when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was on the way to Medina. And Saraqah ibn Malik, who was the leader of his people, they saw some shadows of some people. Three people, or a group of small people on the way, and they knew it was the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the ones who were with him. So he went in pursuit. He wanted these 200 camels. And as he went, his horse started to sink into the sand. Time and time again, he would pull it out, it would sink back into the sand. Somebody from the desert, he knows there's something abnormal. It's not something normal. So he knew it couldn't only be from who? Except from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To protect his Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, after this, Saraqah offered him all means of help. He said, in this area, I have this from the livestock. Take it if you need it. I have this and this. I offered him all he had from to help him. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, La hajata li fiha. He said, I'm not in need of it. Also the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he made it to Medina, now he's the Prophet. He's the leader of Medina. He's the head of the courts, the judge. He's everything in Medina alayhi salatu wasalam. He could have lived like all the other kings lived. He refused except for to live the same simple life that he lived in Mecca. He never changed. The power never changed him. So the person who works in the da'wah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he needs to stay on the same path of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We benefit from this story, the issue of being just at the times of ease and the times of difficulty. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he came back the 8th year of the hijrah to conquer Mecca, how did he treat the people of Mecca? The same people who tortured his companions, who killed some of his companions, who wanted to kill him, alayhi salatu wasalam, he forgave almost all of them. He forgave almost all of them to show the Muslim that he should never seek revenge for himself, as it was the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. From the things we gain from this great story is the certainty that the victory will always be for the people who are pious. Always be for the muttaqeen. True Islam and the Muslimeens, they might go through hardship. As we've seen in recent times, when the Muslim Ummah is looked down upon, when the Muslim Ummah is not victorious, when people have came and enslaved the Muslim Ummah, this was a time of weakness. And this is the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When the Muslims turn away from their religion, He humiliates them. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made it clear in the hadith, that when you turn away from Allah, you leave your religion, Allah will humiliate you. And this is what happened to the Muslims. And we see, alhamdulillah, in the days that we're living in, the return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the return to Islam, and that Islam is starting to grow and spread, and the Muslims are starting to return to the religion, alhamdulillah. We benefit from the story of the hijrah, the effect that the iman, the true iman and the true tawheed, has on the Muslim. We benefit this and how calm the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was during the hijrah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he's sitting in the cave with his companion Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. And the kuffar of Quraysh are standing on top of the cave. Abu Bakr, he said to them, at first he got nervous. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam told him to be quiet, Abu Bakr. He said, what do you think? بِإِثْنَيْنَ اللَّهُ ثَالِثُهُمَا مَا ظَنُّكُ. What do you think with two? Allah is the third of them. And you mean Allah is with us. He is going to protect us. He's the one who ordered us to make hijrah, so nothing will happen to us except for what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed upon us. This is the effect of the iman. If we're meant to make it to Medina, we've done the asbab, the means to make it, we've done everything we can. If it's meant for us to make it, we're going to make it. He's teaching him a lesson. He sees his ummah a lesson. And this is the effect the true iman has upon the believer. We benefit from this story that the victory, the nasr for the Muslims, it will come after sabr, after being patient. How the Prophet ﷺ and the Sahaba, how they were harmed in Mecca, how they, some of them were killed, some of them tortured, and then they became the rulers of the world after that, radiallahu anhum and sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Also, we gain that the victory will come when you support Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمِنُوا إِن تَنْصُرَ اللَّهِ يَنْصُرْكُمْ وَيُثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَكُمْ. O you who believe, if you support Allah, Allah will support you and He will make your feet firm. When the Sahaba and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when they supported Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they were patient, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them victorious after the hijrah to Medina. Also, we gain from this an important principle, which is taken from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. مَنْ تَرَكَ شَيْءًا لِلَّهِ عَوَّضَهُ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا مِّنْهُ. That whoever leaves something for Allah, Allah will give him better than that. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they left all of their belongings behind. They left their houses. They left their families. All of their belongings, in order to make hijrah for Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it easy for them after the difficulty they had in Medina. Allah made them victorious. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, don't think it was easy for him to leave Mecca. Any person leaving his homeland, it's not easy for him. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as he was on the outskirts of Mecca, leaving Mecca, he turned and looked at Mecca and he said, verily you are the most beloved place to me. And he said, if your people were not forcing me out, I wouldn't have left. Alayhi salatu wasalam. But when somebody leaves something for Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put barakah, put blessings in what he does, and replace that, praise him with better than that. We gain from the story of the hijrah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made a group of people, the Arabs, who were big enemies, at constant wars with some within one another. Some wars between certain tribes that reached up to 300 years over some silly disagreement they had 300 years ago, killing one another. Islam brought them together, made them ikhwan, Islam made them into brothers. And we see the Prophet ﷺ focused on this as soon as he came to Medina, making the Ansar and Muhajireen into brothers. He focused on the importance of brotherhood in Islam. And we benefit from this story, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, the effect of the way the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to raise and upbring his companions. The way he used to teach them, the way he used to instruct them, and the effect it had upon them. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught them the importance of Tawheed. Focus on it time and time again, as did the Quran during the time of Mecca. The importance of worship Allah is one without joining any partners. The importance of preparing yourself for the ba'ath, for the resurrection, for the hereafter, the reality of the hereafter. And then the Prophet ﷺ taught them the importance of the ikhlas and the ibadah through the prayer and through the night prayer. And then when it came time for the hijrah, none of them thought twice about it. They immediately followed the command of the Prophet ﷺ, because the way they followed his sunnah, the way they wanted to be like him, when it came time for the implementation, none of them hesitated. When they came to Medina, and the Muslims were ordered to defend their religion through fighting, none of them hesitated, because of the iman they had and the proper upbringing that the Prophet ﷺ gave to them. My dear brothers in Islam, we gain and we benefit from this story the important role that the masjid plays in Islam and the importance of establishing the masjid as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam established it, as a place where the Muslims come together, where they meet, where they talk about their affairs, where they study and learn about their religion. Not just a place where we pray the five daily prayers like the masjids have been made today. We benefit the status and the importance of the pious woman in Islam. The daughters of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, Asma and Aisha radiallahu anhuma, they knew they were the only other people besides Ali and Abu Bakr who knew the in-depth secrets of the hijrah. They knew the in-depth plan of how it was going to be done. They were the ones who helped the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr prepare. Also the role of the youth in Islam. Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, this young man, as he knew a killer from each tribe was on the door of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to kill him, he was the one who laid in the bed of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, risking his own life at any time. They could have broke down the door during the night and came in with their spears and their swords and stabbed Ali radiallahu anhu, and they wouldn't have known it was him until after they took the blanket off of him. He risked his own life. And we see, once again, the pious upbringing. The upbringing on Tawheed and on the greatness of the Sunnah, the effect it has on the life of the Muslim. Barakallahu, barakallahu li wa lakum fil Qur'an wa sunnah. Wa naf'ani wa yakum bima fihima min al-ayati wal-hikmah. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. بسم الله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على النبي المصطفى وبعد. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, during these days, once again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the opportunity, a great opportunity to have all of our sins forgiven. And this is through the day of fasting Ashura. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as it came in the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, that Abdullah ibn Abbas said, I never saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam focusing on wanting to fast a specific day from the days of the year like he focused on the Siyam of Ashura. He used to close guard alayhi salatu wasalam because of the importance of fasting this day. What is this day and its significance in Islam? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, when he came to Medina, he saw the Yahud, the Jews, fasting this day. So when he asked them, why do you fast this day? He said, verily it is the day that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved Musa alayhi salam from Fir'aun when he separated the sea, the famous story. When he drowned Fir'aun, he saved Musa and his followers. He said, so verily this great day we fasted as a form of thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as a form of showing the greatness of this day and its significance to us. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, verily I have more right to Musa than you. And he told his companions, he ordered them to fast it by saying, you have more right as the followers of Musa than them. And we gain from this as Muslims that the true followers of the prophets are the Muslims, not the Christians and not the Jews, because they changed their religion after their prophets. Where the Muslims know the significance and the greatness of all of the prophets of Islam, and they have more right to them, because Islam is the only religion built upon pure tawheed, upon following the command of Allah without changing anything in the religion. As for the reward of fasting this great day, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned the reward by saying that it forgives the past year's sins. It forgives all of the sins that you've had in the past year. And as Imam An-Nawi and the scholars of Islam mentioned, this is the minor sins and not the major sins. Pay attention to this. That the sins are forgiven, they are the minor ones, not the major ones. Because the major sins can only be forgiven through pure tawbah, pure repentance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It will not be forgiven through fasting these days. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as he said towards the end of his life, he said, wallahi, if I were to be here for another year, verily I will fast with the 10th day of Muharram, the 9th day as well. So it's from the sunnah to fast the 10th day, which will be in 3 days, and to fast with it also Sunday, the 9th. So this year, Sunday and Monday. It's the sunnah to fast with the 10th, the 9th day. The Prophet ﷺ, through this, was teaching his ummah the importance of being different from the disbelievers, of those who displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through their belief and through their actions. That the Muslim must be unique. They must be proud to be a Muslim and must differ from these evildoers. That's why he ordered them to fast the 9th day and the 10th day. And as the scholars of Islam mentioned, for those who do not have the ability or they miss the 9th day, then they should fast along with the 10th, the 11th, and Allah knows best. ثُمَّ اعْلَمُوا رَحِمَنِ اللَّهُ وَإِيَّاكُمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ أَمَرُكُمْ بِأَمْرٍ بَدَأَ بِنَفْسِهِ ثُمَّ ثَنَّ بِمَلَائِكَتِهِ الْكِرَامِ فَقَالَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا وَيَقُولُ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مَنْ صَلَّى عَلَيَّ بِوَحْدَةٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهَا بِعَشْرَةٍ اللَّهُمَّ صَلِّ وَسَلِّمْ وَبَارِكْ وَأَنْعِمْ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَارْضَ اللَّهُمَّ عَنِ الْخُلَفَاءِ الرَّاشِدِينَ أَبِي بَكْرٍ وَعُمَرَ وَعُثْمَانَ وَعَلِيٍّ وَسَائِرِ الصَّحَابَةِ أَجْمَعِينَ اللَّهُمَّ أَعِزِّ الْإِسْلَامَ وَالْمُسْلِمِينَ اللَّهُمَّ أَعِزِّ الْإِسْلَامَ وَالْمُسْلِمِينَ اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين وذل الشرك والمشركين ودمر اللهم أعداءك أعداء الدين يا قوي يا متين اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكيها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها اللهم إنا نسألك من كل خير سألك منه نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونستعيذك من كل شر استعاذك منه نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات يا سميع مجيب الدعوات يا رب العالمين اللهم انصر إخواننا المستضعفين في كل مكان اللهم انصر إخواننا المستضعفين في كل مكان اللهم انصرهم في فلسطين وفي سوريا يا رب العالمين واجعل لإخواننا الذين قد أقاموا دولا جديدة بداية مباركة واجعل وأعطيهم التوفيق لتحقيق وتطبيق دينك وشرعك يا رب العالمين اللهم انصر إخواننا يا رب العالمين اللهم وفق ولاة أمور المسلمين لتحكيم شريعتك يا رب العالمين والحمد لله رب العالمين.